Welcome to Sabbath services, brethren. Let's continue on in John 14 as we prepare for the Passover. Now, the Passover is the most important day for all of us and for the world. This is the day that God selected from the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would die for the sin of the world. It's interesting. It says the sin, even though that includes all the sins of all human beings. Now, why does it say the sin of the world? Now, John the Baptist said that twice in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Because all of us have inherited a sinful nature from Adam and Eve. And as we've covered before, that is called the law of sin and death. And so this day is a magnificent day, though it was the bloody baptism of Jesus through the crucifixion. Because God is fair, God is love, God is just. So having judged Adam and Eve and all their descendants with a nature of good and evil, after Adam and Eve had sinned, the question becomes, since God has this great plan, how is it going to be corrected? And God had it planned before the creation of Adam and Eve. God himself would become a human being, and he would take upon himself the same judgment that he gave Adam and Eve, yet never sin, so that his sacrifice, as God manifested in the flesh, would be able to cover all human beings because God has created all human beings. So when we come to the Passover, this day, as Jesus said, represents the life of the world. But he had to die unto sin. And as we read in Hebrews, he died unto sin once for all time. Now, in the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, be sure and read the Appendix D concerning the Eucharist. Because not only the Eucharist, but all of the different things that men have done to change, to pervert, to go against God by bringing their own ideas, or, more importantly, Satan's ideas into the worship of God. And we have seen that with the churches of God in the prophetic setting of them in Revelation 2 and 3. So here in John 14, we have covered the things that are up to verse 5, okay? Let's go back to verse 4. And where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. And how many times did he say he came from heaven? And we'll just project forward a little bit to John 17. When you examine John 17 very carefully, the whole plan of God is laid out in that prayer, which is really quite an amazing thing. All right, John 14, verse 5 now. Thomas said to him, you know, the doubter, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How then can we know the way? So Jesus explained it to them with three major things. Number one, I am the way. Now, that means the path to walk on. And it's interesting that in the Greek, the word exodus is ex hodos, which means the way out. The way out of Egypt, the way out of sin, the way to the truth. Now, the way of God is explained tremendously in everything. It is the way of life. It is the way of truth. It is the way of God. And these are the things that we need to understand and realize. We have to walk in the way of God. Now let's come to 2 Peter, the second chapter. This also ties in with point number two. Now we're going to look at what happened here, and we're going to look at something really important, a principle. Now let's read it, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, as indeed there will be false teachers among you. And we still get all these false doctrines, false ideas. They come like waves, you know, just coming in just like waves. And every once in a while, waves come in with one bigger than the rest of them. Okay? And we've seen that happen too. Who will stealthily, they'll come in with a little ripple, come in with a little idea, won't let themselves be known, introduce destructive heresies, personally denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing swift destructions upon themselves. Now, isn't it interesting? When you read 1 Corinthians 15, we won't turn there, but you can just mark it down. Paul said, there in 1 Corinthians 15, how is it that some of you don't know there is a resurrection from the dead? A sign of false teaching coming in. Because what does every religion in the world believe? We have immortal souls, and when we die, they go to heaven. Okay? Every religion does. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Now, we won't get into a discussion of the soul and the spirit. We'll save that for another time. And you can ask the question, how did that come in? Think of this for a minute in connection with the world system of religion. The Apostle John had all the vision from his time clear up through to New Jerusalem. Came in stages that God gave it to him. When it came to Revelation 17, and he saw the woman, Babylon the Great, riding the beast, he was astonished. How could it come from the truth of God, no leaven in it, no sin in it, to complete paganism over here? And as we see in the world today, they believe and accept it as truth. That's a whole story in itself. But let's look at a big open door that all of those false teachers had when John finally died. And then Polycarp and Polycrates died. First fight was over what? First fight, Passover, called the Quartodeciman Controversy. They wanted to move it to Easter. Now, in order to keep everybody deceived, what did they do? They said that it's the first full moon after the spring equinox. Little sidebar here. If you follow the spring equinox, you were following the world system. Okay? So that it would come very close to Passover. Now, in Dwight Blevin sent me an email on this, which is, I believe, correct, because he looked it up on the, and you can check it out with the calculated Hebrew calendar. The year that Gamaliel II released how to calculate the Passover, there was a Friday night Passover, Sabbath was the Passover day, and Sunday was the first day of unleavened bread. In that year, then, you had Good Friday, midnight mass on Saturday, resurrection on Sunday. And the persecution was so intense upon the Jews and Christians that he released the information on how to calculate it. A lot of people mistakenly said, oh, he invented it. No, you just don't invent it. God gave it. Okay? So the thing they come after is Passover. What was the first major thing they came after in WCG? The Passover. Why? Because if you can move people off of that, then you have the first incremental step in apostasy. Did that happen? Yes, indeed. Stealthily. Verse 2, and many people will follow as authoritative their destructive ways, because they like it that way. And because of them, the way of the truth, that's God's way. God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Every word that is in the Bible, in the original writings, when properly translated, are the truth of God. And that's what we have endeavored to do in producing the Holy Bible in its original order. The truth was the main thing. Because without the truth, without the way of God, what do you have? Ideas of men. The way of truth will be blasphemed. Oh, you don't want to do that. That's what the Jews do. Oh, really? Should we hate the Jews? Just because God punished them for rejecting Christ? No, indeed. Also, through insatiable greed, they will, with enticing messages, exploit you for gain, for whom the judgment of old is in full force and their destruction is ever watching. All right? So the way of God is the way of truth, the way of righteousness. Let's come here to Proverbs 10:29. And this is what the church needs to always, always. Proverbs 10:29. And we will see this comparison. The way of the world, which is the way of Satan the devil, in varying degrees of worshiping him. And I've been noticing the increased number of seeking ghosts, seeking spirits, revealing secret society ceremonies, etc., on television. Because it's almost an automatic thing. So I'm sure that this is true. The more people sin, the more demons are let loose in the land. God can get rid of them for those who are seeking him. It says there in Zechariah 13 that God will get rid of the evil spirits out of the land. How did they get there? Through worshiping Satan the devil. Okay. Now, let's come here to Proverbs 10 and verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The strength of God. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Let's look at a couple of Psalms now, since we're close here. And then we will see exactly how these things occurred. Let's come to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. Now, put in your notes there, John 6:44, we've covered this again. It is the Father who draws us, correct? Verse 45 says, we will all be taught of God. Now, when we go to the Word of God to see what it says and rightly divide it, then God is teaching us. God has given us his Spirit, as I have written in recent letters and covered very deeply in John 14. In the way, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way, the way of the Lord. Now come to Psalm 119, and as I mentioned again, I'll mention it again. Read and study the whole Psalm 119, okay? Psalm 119, verse 1, starts right out Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Notice what happens then. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies and who seek him with the whole heart. So then this all comes together in revealing our relationship with God. Come over here to verse 9. With what shall a young man cleanse his way? What did Jesus say concerning the Passover? He told the disciples, you are clean through the words that I have spoken to you. And what were those words? Passover. First John, the first chapter says, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Okay? Notice, by taking heed according to your word, which then means repentance, forgiveness, mercy, and all of that together. With all my heart I have sought you, O let me not wander from your commandments. So this is really a tremendous thing in helping us establish our relationship with God. And you see, there is strength in the way of the Lord, as we have read. Whenever we have God writing into our minds, which he does when we study, this gives us strength. The strength of the Word of God. The strength of his Spirit, because we're walking in his way. Okay? Now, come over here to verse 33. Let's back up one verse to verse 32. I will run the way of your commandments, for you have enlarged my heart. Give me understanding. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. So the way of God includes what? His laws, his commandments, his statutes, his testimonies, his precepts. And what was the commendation because of what Abraham did? The promises were passed to Isaac because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now we are the spiritual children of Abraham. So the way is God's way. Let's come over here to Psalm 18. Let's see about this way. Now, as Jesus said, we'll see it in just a minute. But here, Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 21. Psalm 18 and verse 21. I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Okay? As for God, let's come down here. Verse 30. Note this. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all of those who take refuge in him. All right, now let's come to back to Matthew 7. Let's see what Jesus said when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount. And this ties in with Deuteronomy 30. See, the thing is, when you rightly divide the word of God and put it together, what do you have? You have the unity of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. All right. Verse 13, Matthew 7. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, that's the way of the world and Satan the devil, that leads to destruction. And it can be very exciting going there. Now, I just finished and put it online, The Love of God, number 7. And I went through Deuteronomy 30, set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then I mentioned, think of all the famous in the world, especially the entertainers and singers, and how that's the Broadway. Do anything that you want. So what he did, he put together clips of about 12 famous singers and entertainers in the world. So you watch that church at home. You will be astonished how many died at age 27. Amazing. Suicide, drugs, leads to destruction. Now I imagine all those people that go to these rock concerts and are all hyped up on their drugs and their adrenaline and the music and everything like this, their minds couldn't have a thought about God. But everybody does it. It's like with pot. Let's legalize it so we can get the tax revenue. Okay, they're doing that in California now. Doris and I talked about that often, and I said, you wait and see, they're going to do that. And pot is not like tobacco. It stays in your system and can even be passed on with difficulties to your children. They just had to take a baby away from pot-smoking parents because the baby fell into a coma because of all of their pot smoke. Secondhand pot smoke? Look at the laws they have against secondhand tobacco smoke. But they're going to legalize pot. See, the way of man is destructive, just like it says here. Okay? So he says, verse 13, for narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Then what is the next warning? Beware of false prophet. All right. Now let's come back to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, because we're going to see something important here. And how quickly, even in the presence of God. Exodus 31. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 12. Isn't it interesting? What a blessing it is to have the whole Bible and the words of God written down. What did God say? We can check it out. Think about those people who don't have Bibles. Think about if you've seen Israel of the Alps. Think about those who were in the wilderness there in the Alps, who the most that they had was the Gospel of John. And in that is the whole gospel, if you carefully examine it. So speak to the children of Israel, saying, truly, that is in truth, in righteousness, you shall keep my Sabbath, plural. For it, now the it is the keeping of the Sabbath. The acting of keeping the Sabbath is the it, is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Okay? Now what I want you to do is put in your notes there, 1 John 2. How do we know the Lord? Hereby we know that we know the Lord if we keep his commandments. See? Okay? Then he singles out the weekly Sabbath. Come down here to verse 16. If you have the weekly Sabbath, then you must have the annual Sabbath and the Passover. That's like the right foot and the left foot. Good analogy. If you have the Sabbath, how well do you walk in the way of the Lord? Well, with a crutch, fairly decently. Okay? Verse 16. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Then God gave to Moses the 2 tablets of stone that he personally wrote on. And he took those stones, God took those stones, and wrote on them himself. After they sinned, and Moses went up to God again, God told Moses, you get 2 tablets of stone, and you bring them up. Then I'll write on them. Okay? Now, let's notice verse 32, because this ties right in with the importance of the Sabbath and the holy days right here. Next chapter, 32. If I said verse, sorry about that. You're alert. Okay. Now, what happens? Here's the Broadway. What did the people worship in Egypt? All the idols, all the gods, right? Yes, indeed. And you read, I forget where it is, but there's a place, I think it's in Deuteronomy, where God said, you know, I almost killed all the children of Israel in Egypt for their sins. Now, here's a good lesson. It's hard to come out of sin. Number one. Number two, never assume that you can think for God. Number three, never go along with the majority of the people. It doesn't matter who you are. Now, Aaron was chosen to be the high priest. What should he have done in this case? He should have said, listen, you all saw, good southern name, word rather, you all saw all the plagues and everything that God did. You all walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. You all saw the water that God gave to you. You all heard the voice of God from heaven. So don't worry about Moses. He will eventually come down. That's what he should have said. But let's read what he did. This is the same tactic that comes along all the time. The Sabbath, holy days, and that includes the Passover. The first thing. And what is Babylon the Great with Christianity and the world locked in today? Sunday worship, holiday worship, all satanic, and everyone in those religions believe that this is correct, even though they know which day the Bible says is the Sabbath, and they know that the days they are keeping are pagan. Likewise with the children of Israel here. So they came to Aaron, verse 1, and said, up, make us gods which shall go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Number one tactic of Satan the devil, always speak against the messenger. In politics it is kill the messenger, slander him. Okay? And Aaron said to them, notice what he did. Break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears, brought them to Aaron. And he took them from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a molten calf. Now, was Aaron directly involved in doing this? Mm-hmm. Does this tell us that he was an idol maker in Egypt? Don't know. Very likely. How would he know how to do it if he weren't? And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Complete lie. See how that ties in with 2 Peter, the second chapter. See how that ties in with Matthew, the seventh chapter. And when Aaron saw the calf, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. We're going to establish our own day. And he rose up early on the next morning, offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, and sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. A grand rock concert. Okay? Rose up to play means it was probably orgiastic. Same thing they do today. So, the Lord said to Moses, get down from there, for your people, and you find this true all the way through, whenever they do wrong, they belong to Moses. Whenever they do good, they belong to God. Your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves, and they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. See? That's why Jesus says he is the way. And he also ended that sentence by saying, and no one can come to the Father except through me. It doesn't matter how brilliant you think your idea is. It doesn't matter how many people agree with you. It is a matter of the way of God and the truth of God, and only that can lead to eternal life. Okay? So notice, they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Forgot about all the miracles. Forgot about the pillar of the cloud during the day, the pillar of fire at night. Forgot about the manna that comes 6 days. And then on the sixth day, they could gather twice as much. If they try and snitch during the week, it turns into worms and stinks and rots. Okay? Forgot all about that. Everything that God did. Now, what happened in modern day when they first sanctified from the pulpit eating unclean food? Right there at the headquarters church. Right there in the most expensive building that any church of God has ever built any place. With gold leaf, the wallpaper on the ceiling. Everybody left Sabbath services because they haven't yet introduced Sunday worship yet. See, once you take that first step, get rid of the Passover, get rid of other laws of God, tell people they can do it, why, they got together and said, let's go to the Red Lobster. And the Red Lobster did a tremendous business on that Sabbath day. And oh, how they longed for it. And, you know, they probably lusted every time they saw the ad for Red Lobster on television, dipping that white lovely meat into the butter sauce. Likewise, when it came for Christmas, people said, oh, I'm so happy we can put a Christmas tree in the house now. It smells so good. They never asked the question, what does God think? What did God say? Doesn't matter what man thinks or says, okay? So notice what God was going to do here. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And now leave me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Now notice the humility of Moses. Think of what would happen if Moses wasn't humble and converted. Probably say, why, yes, Lord, I know I'll make a grand father for this new nation. No. And Moses prayed to the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out with an evil intent to kill them in the mountain and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give to your seed, and they shall inherit it. Now, does that not also show us how we can pray to God? Yes, indeed. Notice, Moses importuned God to please repent, and God changed his mind. Verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he spoke of doing to his people. So then Moses came down, saw what was going on, smashed the tablets of the stone, probably in anger, saying, what good are these Ten Commandments if these stiff-necked people will not hear and listen? Then he said, Aaron, come here. So I imagine he came very sheepishly. I'm here, Moses. What is this you have done? He says to people. And just one of my favorite parts of the Bible. They collected all their gold and threw it into the fire, and out leaped this calf. Everybody has a good excuse, but you see, the whole thing gets down to the truth of God, the way of God. And it centers and begins with Sabbath, Passover, and Holy Days. And what is the first thing that you came to understand as God was calling you? Sabbath, Passover, and Holy Days. And those define the way of God. Okay. Now then, just put in your notes there, 1 Kings 13. No, let's go to 1 Kings 12. Let's see the same thing so we can see that God never changes. 1 Kings chapter 12. You know what happened after the kingdom was divided between Rehoboam and Jeroboam? And why was the kingdom divided? Because Solomon went after other gods. You would think if there would be anyone on the earth who would have remained faithful, it was Solomon. God appeared to him twice. Let him build the temple, set it all up, blessed him tremendously. And you know there's a pattern that you find in the Old Testament. Not all the time, but too many times, when someone gets old, he does foolish things and turn his back on the Lord. And Dolores shakes her head. Yes, I will not let Fred do that. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break here, and we'll come back to 1 Kings 10, or 12, rather.